This is your Bash at the Beach AEW Dynamite review for January 15th, 2020 from Miami, Florida, the 305, as everybody reminded me in the chat. I don't know how I forgot that. It's one of the easiest, outside of 619, that should be one of the easiest area codes to remember. I still can't believe that I don't have the full story here, but apparently Impact had their channel either banned or suspended from Twitch. It's LOL TNA, but I believe it was because of the Rob Van Dam segment with his wife and his wife's girlfriend. Is that who she is, right? I think his wife has a girlfriend and all three of them have an open relationship. By the way, that is not a work. That is not a gimmick. Apparently that is legit. That is the way that RVD lives his life. God bless him. How old is RVD these days? It's got to be what? Late 40s? 45? 47? Something like that. Anyway, RVD Celebration. I saw the segment, and I think it's actually kind of entertaining. It's almost like RVD going through a midlife crisis. But it's a little risque. And apparently that was the segment that got them booted off of Twitch. So the Impact channel, for now anyway, is no more on Twitch. I tried to go to it before. Couldn't get it. Doesn't show up. We got our first Russo on a Pole super chat tonight. A. Lavelle just donated $20 on a pole, bro. What's up, Solid Monster? Love the AEW reviews. Keep up the great work, as always. It's going to be a fun night. Unfortunately, though, I'm sorry to say, before we get into all the fun stuff, we have some not-so-fun stuff here to talk about. I would be remiss if I did not open with this, and that is the death of WWE Hall of Famer Soul Man Rocky Johnson at the age of 75, former WWE Tag Team Champion with Tony Atlas, one of the biggest names of the 70s and the early 80s. That's really when he came into WWE. And of course, in a way it's kind of sad, but a lot of the newer fans, a lot of the younger fans really know him as the father of The Rock. You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, that's his dad. That's where The Rock gets his name from. You know, The Rock didn't get his name from Don Morocco. He got his name from his father. You know, and then he took his great-grandfather's, or his grandfather's name, right? Peter Maivia, Rocky Johnson, hence Rocky Maivia was born. But that's how a lot of people remember him. And people need to know he had a career long before he was known as the father of The Rock. He was said to have been very ill the past 2 weeks. I'm not sure exactly what it was. I don't know if he had been diagnosed with something that he didn't know he had. Maybe it was pneumonia. I don't know. But I think it was Meltzer who reported that he had been very sick the last 2 weeks. It sounds like something very sudden. 75 is not that old, so unfortunately, kind of came out of nowhere. He wrestled for the NWA championship in the 70s. You know, he had some high-profile matches with Harley Race and some of the big names of that time. Wrestled Jerry Lawler in Memphis, you know, for the championship down there. Only came to WWE really full-time in 1982. And by the time I was old enough to start watching the product, which was a few years later, he had just left the company. I think he left the company around 1985. So right around the time that first WrestleMania boom really hit is when he didn't retire, but he left. He retired a few years later. So I really only saw his work after the fact. I didn't grow up watching Rocky Johnson matches. He was right before my time becoming a fan of the product. But he had some famous matches against Don Morocco. He was a tremendous athlete. I mean, he was known for his drop kicks. So, you know, today we talk about people like Okada, Randy Orton, Dolph Ziggler. You know, Bob Holly, I thought, had a mean drop kick back in the day. And back then in the 70s, Rocky Johnson was basically the king of the dropkick. He was a very agile, very athletic guy for, you know, a big guy. I mean, he was probably over 250. He wasn't a cruiserweight. You know, he wasn't a small guy. He was jacked to the gills, this guy. So a tremendous athlete. And really, his big run was as a tag team, or the memorable part of his career in WWE came when he and Tony Atlas, they were the Soul Patrol, and they beat the Wild Samoans to become tag team champions. Now, they weren't champions for very long. In fact, it was actually a very short period of time. But they were the first ever black tag team to win the tag team championships in WWE. And so that's one of his bigger claims to fame. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2008. So he is a Hall of Famer. Now, I had just seen something. I want to say it was this past week in The Observer. They had a report that his autobiography had been pulled. Now, I knew that he came out with a book because I think I promoted it. You know, I did like an Audible plug on my show for his audiobook one week. And now when you check, the audiobook is no longer available. So the book was pulled. And according to this report in The Observer from this past week, he had some sort of dispute or disagreement with the author, Scott Teal. Scott Teal's, you know, pretty well-known name. He's authored a lot of wrestling books. And they had some kind of falling out that apparently was very serious. Like a massive blow-up. I don't know what happened. I don't know if Scott Teal is going to want to talk about what happened, but his book got pulled. So if you try to get his book, it might be very tough to get a copy. You know, but The Rock did the foreword for it, and apparently, you know, he had an interesting life. So I don't know if you can get your hands on a copy of that book, or if there's going to be maybe a push to get it back on shelves. But anyway, this was a pretty shitty piece of news to get late in the day. Obviously, condolences to The Rock and his family. I'm sure WWE, who has already talked about this on their website, will want to put some kind of special tribute together for him on TV this coming week. Well deserving of it. You know, one of the big names from back in the day. And again, condolences to Rock and his family. Which brings us to the other big story before we get into tonight's Dynamite episode. And this was, no doubt, big news. And before I get to it, Riley Wrighton, thank you for the $1.99 super chat before. He says, throw the whole AEW women's division away. Yeah, it is the weak spot of this company, unfortunately. One thing that is not weak is their new TV deal. AEW had a major announcement today for their future, and that is that they have extended their television deal with TNT through the year 2023. So they are on solid ground now as far as a TV deal. And you know what that means? You know what that means. 3 more years of Dynamite streams here on the channel. Except next week. I'll be in the Bahamas next week, so there will be no Dynamite stream next Wednesday, just so you know. But other than that, you're getting 3 more years at least of Dynamite streams here on YouTube. So, something to get excited about. Jose Inouye, thank you for the $10 Russo on a Pole Super Chat, bro. Appreciate it. And, Meltzer was the first one to report that the deal is for 4 years, $175 million. So that works out to be just under $45 million per year. So what does that work out to be? I'm trying to do the math. I'm not good at math on the spot. That works out to be somewhere, let's assume they have 51 weeks of TV. Let's say they take off for Christmas. Okay, 51 weeks of TV in a year. So that would be somewhere, I don't know what, $900,000 per episode. Not bad. Not a bad deal. And apparently they have the option for another year in 2024 at what would be a significantly increased price. And according to Meltzer, this is going to make the company profitable as soon as this year. Because they were not working at a profit before. They've sunk the Khan family. Has sunk a lot of money into this to try to get this thing going. They signed a lot of talent. Jericho, Moxley, some big names, I'm sure, at top dollar. And this deal, at some point this year, if not right away, is going to put them at a profit. I'm sure it was many, many years before WCW was operating at a profit. So that's pretty impressive. Here's my question, and I have not seen this answered anywhere. So, and if it is reported somewhere, then let me know. I'm sure we'll find out in the days to come. My question is this. $45 million, right? That's a lot of money. Is it $45 million plus TNT continues to cover their production costs? Or is it $45 million total, with AEW now having to cover their own expenses related to production? Because TNT was covering that before. That's a big difference. It's still a good deal, but that's a big difference. So that's one question I have not yet seen an answer to. Wrestling Renegade, thank you for the $9.99 super chat. He says, how are you? He says, donating this to those suffering from Brandy's wrestling. Keep up the good work. Well, apparently Kong was sick, and so Brandy had to fill in during the women's tag match. Riley Wright, and thank you, $4.99 super chat. Appreciate it, brother. Says, Solo, it's RJ, LOL, far from a guy. Oh, my God. I thought it was some dude named Riley. Man, we got a hot chick donating here who's listened to my show for years, and here I think it's some random dude named Riley. You could thank YouTube for that. How you doing, RJ? Anyway, the press release mentions adding a second series on TV. No mention of whether that would be on TNT. Now, WarnerMedia owns TBS. It owns True TV. They own HBO Max. That's their new streaming service that's going to be launching in May. Not only with HBO content, they're going to have a whole range of content from all of their other properties. So it's very possible this new AEW show doesn't air on TNT. Maybe it's on their HBO Max streaming service. You know, we don't know yet. Meltzer, the way he's reporting this, he makes it sound like it's not going to be AEW Dark. I just assumed they would take Dark and put it on TV. Does not appear that that's going to be the case. I guess Dark is going to stay on YouTube. This would be a totally different show, totally new show. And it would end up that AEW will have 4 hours of weekly programming each week. So if you include Dark in that, Dark is an hour. You've got 2 hours of Dynamite. I would have to guess the new show is only going to be an hour, which is perfect. It should not be longer than that. We don't need a longer show than that. This is obviously this is good news, and you know AEW can use this as a chip to attract more talent by showing them, see, not only do we have money, we've got a TV deal locked in for the foreseeable future, and we could offer you an easier schedule than that other company could. So I think this is going to be very appealing, for example, to guys like Matt Hardy, people like Luke Harper, The Revival. They've got to be loving this. These guys have held out. They have not yet, anyway, re-signed with WWE. I still feel like The Revival will end up re-signing with them because LOL. But they've got to be loving this. You know, these guys are in the catbird seat right now. They've got all the leverage in the world if WWE doesn't want to lose them. Now, the question is, do they need the extra show? You know, they'll get money out of it, but do they really need another show? There's already too much content. You know, I admit that this is great for AEW, but there's already way too much wrestling on TV. So another show is not... I don't think another show is exactly what's needed right now. I don't even have time to watch Dark on most weeks. So I'm not even sure I would bother with, AEW Thunder, unless it was positioned as something important. Eric Bischoff has talked about WCW Thunder being the start, really, of the downfall of WCW. He didn't want another show. That was something that Turner said, hey, you got to do this. We had no choice. So hopefully they know what they're doing here. And we'll see. 4 hours of taping television every Wednesday. I don't know if these crowds are going to be so hot. You know, it's a big difference between 2 hours of TV or 2.5 hours and 4 hours. But anyway, we'll wrap this up here. I couldn't imagine TNT not extending the deal for Dynamite given their numbers. The numbers have been very good. The numbers have been way above, I'm sure, what their expectations had to be going in. This was an unproven brand. This was a brand new commodity. They had never had television before. They had no track record to go on. And, you know, they're doing 700,000-900,000 viewers a week live. You factor in DVR, they're doing 1.2, 1.3 million people per week. How do you not extend that deal? You know, I can't see this as being anything but a plus and something beneficial for a company like MLW. And I'm going to talk about that on the Sound Off on Saturday. The show's going to be dropping a day early this weekend because I got to fly out to Miami. But MLW announced some pretty major news themselves this week, and they're in the hunt for a big TV deal themselves. So all of a sudden, you got maybe some other stations going, hey, wrestling is, kind of a hot, it seems like a hot commodity right now. They may be more open to listening to MLW, and maybe that helps their chances. I have to just call out one thing. I posted a tweet earlier All I did was quote tweet the press release from AEW about the announcement, and I said, this is great news for wrestling. Thumbs up. That's all I said. Literally all I said. And so you had to know there were going to be some fools who tweeted back at me saying, you're an AEW dick sucker. There he goes, shilling for AEW. This is terrible. You know, typical Solomonster. You know, the one tweet from Chris in Arizona. This poor guy, he went in for a vasectomy and they gave him a lobotomy. I feel bad for the guy. When you go in for a vasectomy and they give you a lobotomy, he should file a lawsuit against the hospital that crippled him for life. They maimed this poor guy. They took what had been a highly functioning brain and they chopped it in half. I can't even go after the guy. I feel sorry for him. I hope he gets the help he needs. But when you tweet stupid shit like that to me, you get called out for it. These people are so hypersensitive. The slightest thing that you post about AEW, the slightest hint of praise, you're being biased. You're anti-WWE. You're being biased. Sue the hospital that fucked up your brain, dude. Please. Please. I hope you get a large settlement. That's all I'm going to say about that. So, with that being said, let's get into Dynamite. This was the Bash at the Beach episode of Dynamite here from Miami, Florida. I'm all riled up now. Now I'm ready to go. Now I am ready to go here. There's the artwork. There it is. Bash at the Beach review. Don't you love the pastel colors? I'm a child of the 80s. I fucking love the 80s. I love pastels. I love the fucking big hair, all that shit. I love it. I love it. We had Cody out there tonight dressed up like fucking Don Johnson from Miami Vice. Ah, it's great. So we had Dynamite tonight. They were, as I said, they were in Miami. And they had, you know, look, it was the regular Dynamite set. It wasn't like some special, you know, like WCW had the Club La Vila Spring Break edition of Nitro, which was a totally different setting. That's not what this was, unfortunately. That's not what this was. Brian, by the way, thank you for the $5 super chat. I want to make sure I don't forget anybody. We got a lot of super chat activity tonight. You guys are awesome. As you show your support, I want to make sure the least I could do is shout you out here live on the air. Should AEW and TNT consider adding 15 minutes, he says, to the broadcast to avoid matches being cut short? I think it's fine if you give them a few extra minutes, but 15 minutes they don't need. That just means I have to start my stream 15 minutes later. I don't want to do that. I got to wake up for work in the morning. So the answer to your question is no, I hope they don't do that. But give them an extra 2 or 3 minutes. There's no harm in that. You're paying this company $45 million a year. You could at least give them 2 fucking extra minutes on TV every Wednesday. Corbin Rogers, thank you, brother. $20 super chat. Appreciate it. So we had Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. They're all out there. They're wearing their beach gear. Jim Ross said he promised to wear his beach attire next week on the Jericho Cruise. I guess that's going to be part two of the Bash at the Beach theme next week. Hey, JR is single. He's single and ready to mingle, ladies. If you plan on being on the ship next week, I'm just saying. Gonna have a bar there. You can get the guy drunk. He'll tell you slobber knocker stories. He might literally slobber on you. Anything can happen. I'm gonna try to get pictures. I'm gonna use it as blackmail on some of these wrestlers. You don't think there's gonna be wrestlers on this ship running around getting shit-faced drunk, and I'm gonna be there with my phone ready ready to snap some pictures and video? Come on. Come on. Of course I am. I'm going to be on the hunt on this cruise next week. We're going to get some good content here. You see JR is going to be dancing, to be doing the Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie. All that stuff. Maybe I'll teach him how to Dougie. There's a video for you. We had a 4-way number one contenders tag team match. Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. The Young Bucks, the Bucks of Youth. Best friends. And Santana and Ortiz. This was all action. I thought this was a lot of fun. Omega hit the You Can't Escape. Page hit a standing shooting star. Omega immediately off the ropes with a moonsault. This whole sequence here was actually a lot of fun. And Page goes up top, hits a top rope moonsault out to the floor. Trent hits a superplex on Matt Jackson. From the top rope, out to the floor, wipes everybody out. Right, whole pile of everybody, they land on everybody, everybody gets wiped out. So referee Rick Knox gets bumped, and all eight men now jump in the ring, and they're teasing this eight-way suplex spot. And they're trying to get, you know, I think the baby faces are trying to get the heels up, and they can't quite do it. And so into the ring comes Orange Cassidy. I would love to know if, I don't know if Orange Cassidy is going to be on the Jericho Cruise next week. I would think he might be if they're, I mean, they're taping Dynamite. So you would think they would want him there. I have to meet this Orange Cassidy fellow. There's a photo. I think that's the big photo we got to try to get next week. I need to meet Orange Cassidy on this ship. But I don't know if he's going to be on the cruise or not. But he was here tonight, and he gets into the ring. He jumps in, and all it took was a little muscle from Orange Cassidy, and all the baby faces get suplexed over. I thought this was a fun spot. You know, just dumb fun. Best Friends hit Omega with Strong Zero. Young Bucks broke up the pin. Super kick party. Nick Jackson teases a Meltzer driver. Hits an Acai moonsault instead. So at this point, Adam Page, he blind tags himself in. Omega hits Chucky with a V-trigger. And Omega and Page hit a combination V-trigger buckshot lariat for the win. And so next week, it will be Page and Omega challenging SCU for the AEW tag team titles. Matt Jackson was very upset with Hangman Page over the blind tag, but they shook hands, and, you know, they tried to talk out their differences. Clearly, there is still dissension in the ranks here. I would change the titles next week. I mean, I wouldn't have put the titles on SCU to begin with, but I would change them next week, and I would feud Omega and Page for a while with the Bucks coming out of this, you know, tease even more dissension in the ranks of the Elite. I think that would make things kind of interesting. So I liked it. One person who did not like this, well, unless he was referring to something on NXT, I don't know. But one person who was tweeting about this and did not seem to like this opening segment was Baron Corbin. King Corbin. And the only reason I even know about this is because I had people tweeting me about it. Because the bald prick has me blocked, so I'm spared from seeing his tweets. But someone was kind enough to send me a screenshot of what it was that he said, which you'll be looking at on your screen right now. This is what King Corbin had to say on Twitter tonight. He said, winner gets a title shot. So, forgets covers, or forgets, whatever, forgets covers. Everybody gets pops. Spot, 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 dive, dive, dive. Spot, 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 dive, dive, dive. Spot, dive, spot, dive. Spot, group spot, spot dive, get your shit in, neck beards, this is awesome. I will say this about Baron Corbin. I will give this guy credit. He knows how to play his gimmick up very well. This didn't bother me at all. I take it all in good fun. It kind of reminds me of when he was in NXT. I don't know how many of you remember this? When he was in NXT for a while there, his gimmick, he would tell guys to go back to the indies. It was almost like he was playing the role of indie killer. He would tell guys, go back to the indies. He told Apollo Crews once during a match, I think it was at a takeover. Might have been takeover in Brooklyn, but he was telling Apollo Crews once to go back to Ring of Honor. Which was doubly funny because Apollo Crews never even wrestled for Ring of Honor. So I thought that was funny. Brian just donated $5 through Super Chat. Orange Cassidy meets the Solo Monster equals Step Brothers. We'll see. We'll see. This guy's got to go on the ship. If he's not on the ship, we can't... it's like the meeting of the Mega Powers here. I mean, this could be a big deal. I need everybody to tweet Orange Cassidy and find out if he's going to be on this cruise and tell him, don't be a coward. He's got to meet me face-to-face like a man. We'll see if we can get something done next week. Cody was out next to respond to MJF's proposed stipulations in order for Cody to get the match he wants against MJF at Revolution next month. Cody's out there, like I said, he's dressed up as Don Johnson from Miami Vice, and he asked Keith Mitchell in the truck, Keith Mitchell of WCW fame, to put the stipulations up on the screen, which we've been through what the stipulations are, so I'm not going to go through them again. He said that MJF had pageant parents who paraded him on the Rosie O'Donnell show at 7 years old, which is a shoot. If you've never seen a young MJF on the Rosie O'Donnell show, it's on YouTube. Go back and watch it. It's actually really funny to go see. He said, old school guys like MJF, and they call him a true old school heel. And they say less is more, but really MJF does less because he's not able to do more. He talked about the steel cage match with Wardlow. He thinks that MJF is afraid that Wardlow might outshine MJF. Maybe MJF should be carrying Wardlow's bags instead of the other way around. So he accepts the cage match against Wardlow, which will happen, I think, a week before the pay-per-view in Atlanta, I believe, is the date of when the cage match will be. As far as the 10 lashes with a leather belt on live TV, he accepts that as well. And he cannot touch MJF until the pay-per-view. He says that's fine because I'm living rent-free in his head. And so he's basically agreed to all of MJF's stipulations. And he said that, all of this means that he being Cody, failed as a mentor. This is not MJF's story. And at the pay-per-view, he will give MJF his own, in his words, goddamn scar. I could have done without all of the insider lingo, but Cody's intensity during these segments, I think, is excellent. This was another very good promo. You know, that's just a fact. I know some people hate Cody's guts for whatever reason, but I have to give him his props. He's had some great matches, but he's a terrific promo. He is one of the better promos, I would say, right now in any promotion. I don't think that's even up for debate. Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida against Melanie Cruz, or Mel. I think of Mel Brooks every time I say that. It's just a horrible visual. Against Mel and Brandi Rhodes, replacing Awesome Kong, who was ill and not able to compete. Unfortunately, Awesome Kong was watching an old 2019 episode of Monday Night Raw before the show tonight, and she fell ill, so she was unable to compete, so Brandi took her place. This crowd was deathly silent for much of this match. Shida did kind of get them into it a little bit later on, though, for a little bit, because she's really good at her job, but it didn't last very long. When she came out, Dr. Luther was blocking her path in the aisleway. And meanwhile, Statlander was being ganged up onto the ring, and Shida's stuck in the aisle, and so she had a kendo stick, and she started beating Luther with it. That cleared a path. She got down to the ring. Fast forward a little bit. Mel hits a black hole slam for a near fall. Shida connects with a superplex to Melanie. Statlander hits a running knee for a one count. And Statlander, standing moonsault for a near fall. Package tombstone for the pin. Right team won, thankfully. Statlander should not be losing to the Nightmare Collective, Collective Nightmare, whatever the fuck they are. And Brandi was yelling at Melanie after the match for losing. Hopefully, that's a sign that a breakup is imminent. Maybe they've come to their senses. Maybe the Nightmare Collective will be no more very soon. We'll see. We had a Dark Order segment reviewing the various roster names they're looking to recruit. Michael Nakazawa. They mentioned Brandon Cutler. Hangman Page. We didn't see the Exalted One, the higher power that we've been told about, but we did hear his voice in the background, and he was telling one of his minions, you know, he was talking to him, and, you know, again, they altered his voice, so we couldn't tell who it was, because, of course, if they didn't alter his voice, we would hear Broken Matt's voice, and then he would be in violation of his WWE contract. So, of course, they have to distort his voice. Remember, that was one of my predictions from Sunday's show. If you missed all my predictions for 2020, they're up here on the YouTube channel. That's one of them. Broken Matt Hardy is going to be the Exalted One in the Dark Order. We'll see if it pans out. We have, who is this? Oh, Magician Sapphire, $10 Russo on a Pole Super Chat. Look at Russo getting airtime there. Best magic trick I've seen. The Nightmare Collective turned an entire crowd of people into crickets. I suppose so. I suppose you're right. Maybe that could be their new gimmick. A bunch of David Blaines. Maybe they can make themselves disappear while they're at it. John Moxley against Sammy Guevara. Actually, let me take a quick pause here. I want to say hello to the chat. What's going on in the chat? Let me see some activity here. I see all these messages scrolling by. I can't even read them all. Shout out to everybody who's joining live here. Got Cream Pie in the chat, Steeler Nation, Jason Jimerson, Wally Rosario. Got a party in the chat here. Dark Order leader is Mike Tenay, says R. Daniel. Ugh. Mike Tenay. I won't speak ill of Mike Tenay. Mike Tenay is not exactly the most charismatic person in the world. Don West. I could see Don West. Maybe Don West is the leader of the Dark Order. Could do Dark Order deals on HSN. We had John Moxley against Sammy Guevara, with the winner meeting the winner of the Pac Darby Allin match next week in the Bahamas to determine a number one contender for the AEW championship. Moxley drove out into the arena in his new 4GT. And fast forwarding a little bit here, teased a top rope paradigm shift at one point. Guevara fought it off, hit a top rope Spanish fly for a near fall. Well, he is the Spanish god, so you could say it was literally a Spanish fly. He used a knee strike, got a two count only. Guevara went for a top rope moonsault on his way down. I did not expect this. Moxley is not known for his submission maneuvers. I kind of like the idea of them introducing a submission hold that Moxley wins with. At least it's something other than the paradigm shift. The finish here came out of nowhere. So Guevara goes for a top rope moonsault. Moxley catches him on the way down in a rear naked choke, locks on the body scissors, and Guevara taps out instantly. So John Moxley picks up the win. No surprise. The one thing I will say about these two matches tonight, the Pac match and the Moxley match, if there's any knock on them, the outcomes were never in doubt. The outcomes were never in doubt. We knew Moxley was winning. We knew Pac was winning. We knew it was going to be Moxley and Pac on the ship next week. So that's, and it's not even really a criticism. It's just, you know, an observation. I don't know that anybody thought the outcomes were going to be any different than what they were tonight. So we weren't going to get Darby Allin against Sammy Guevara in the Bahamas next week. I don't know anybody who is expecting that. NK with the super chat. We got a $4.99. What denomination is that? Works out to $6.53. There you go. Dark Order, he says, is a gay nightclub. The Butcher and the Blade are security guards. The internet trolls told me. True story. Well, hey, if it's on the internet, it must be true. I've said before, Evil Uno looks like something that you would find in some kind of S&M club. It's a little freaky. But if you want to join the Dark Order, hey, that's on you. To each their own. So Moxley wins, Jericho's music hits, and the lights go out. AEW loves this gimmick. They love it. When everybody, I feel like every single person who works in production for AEW, when they go to bed at night and they turn the lights out, I feel like they get a weird sensation up their leg, like a weird tingle. It's like their favorite part of the day when the lights go out. They love this gimmick. They love this lights out gimmick. So the lights go out. Lights come back on. Jericho's in the ring. Jake Hager's in the ring. Santana and Ortiz. They have Moxley surrounded. And Moxley says, fuck it. He goes after Jericho. Of course, they beat him down. And Hager hits a running low blow to John Moxley. Hager used his Bellator finisher here on Dynamite. So down goes Moxley. Jericho takes his jacket off. Now, his jacket has the metal spikes. So he takes the jacket off and he rips off one of the metal spikes. Takes it, they have Moxley, they're holding him up for Jericho. And Jericho comes right at him, spikes him right in the eye with the spike. Moxley goes down, he's grabbing his eye, he's in agony. The doctor comes in to check on him, the referees come out. You know, as an angle, I thought it was pretty good. But what I thought, and I tweeted this out instantly because that's what this reminded me of. I thought it was really cool. And I don't know how many people picked up on this. But not only that they copied the Road Warrior angle with Dusty Rhodes. That I'm sure a lot of people picked up on. Famous wrestling angle back in the NWA many, many, many years ago. Where the Road Warrior Animal, removed a spike from his shoulder pads. And that was actually more brutal because he dug that spike into Dusty's eye and Dusty did a blade job. That was more of a hardcore angle than this was. But what's cool is Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone were the ones on commentary that night. So whatever year that was, that had to be what, 87 probably? Let me know in the chat what year it was. It had to be 1987, 1988, something like that. It was JR and Tony Schiavone calling that angle on commentary. And here we are now, over 30 years later. And it's Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone on commentary calling the exact same angle, only this time with Jericho and Jon Moxley. So I thought that was a nice little callback, and with the same announcers too, no less. So I thought that was pretty cool. Brian with the $2 super chat makes Bray run away. Jericho went full painmaker mode on Moxley, he says. Indeed he did. I guess they could have had some blood. I mean, it's not a big deal that they didn't. You do an angle like that, though, you drive a spike into somebody's eye. Probably should have some blood. That's all I'm saying. Elite Knight, thank you for the $4.99 super chat. Would it be too soon if Jericho lost the title at Revolution to Moxley? Not at all. In fact, that's the prediction I threw out there on the show on Sunday. I said Jon Moxley wins the championship at Revolution from Chris Jericho, holds on to it all the way to All Out at the end of the summer, drops it to Kenny Omega. They rekindle their feud. Moxley drops the championship to Kenny Omega Labor Day weekend. That was my prediction. We'll see if it pans out or not. We'll find out. MJF, the Butcher, and the Blade with the Bunny. Who? The Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny. Against QT Marshall.
I love doing that.
Against QT Marshall, Dustin Rhodes, and Diamond Dallas Page. Back in the ring live on TNT for the first time in over 20 years. And his first match on television, not counting, if you don't count the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal that he was in, which was probably 2016. So what was that, WrestleMania 32, I think? I believe DDP was in that Battle Royal. Not counting that, the last time DDP had a match on TV was April of 2004. On TNA Impact. It's been a long time. And I will say this about DDP. Not bad for a 63-year-old man. I've said the same thing about Ricky Morton. Robert Gibson looks as old as he is. It's actually unbelievable. I was watching NWA Power this week. And just when they came out for a promo, Ricky Morton, man, he is full of life. It's almost like, you know, time stood still for Ricky Morton. And then you look over at Robert Gibson. He's got the whole cross-eyed thing going on like Shawn Michaels does. The one eye looking this way, the one eye looking that way. It's kind of freaky. But he's standing there and it's like he starts talking. He sounds like he's 70 years old. But Ricky Morton, he's out there doing topes. He's out there doing Canadian destroyers. Hey, God bless the guy. DDP, 63 years old. He's even older than Ricky Morton. He wrestled without a shirt on. I didn't think he looked much different. He didn't embarrass himself. Tony Schiavone said that he lost 50 pounds doing DDP yoga. I can vouch that it works. I lost 18 pounds. I put it all back on since then, plus a few more. But that's because I stopped. So that's my fault. Too busy to be. I pay for a gym subscription. I barely go because I'm always doing stuff. It's like, what's the point of even paying for a gym membership if you're not going to go? But I did lose those 18 pounds, so I can vouch. And that's, you know, without even changing much about the diet. It's just good, you know, it's just, you know, you gotta move, man. You gotta be active. If you stick to it, it works. So MJF is out there, and this is the best. He's out there wearing a t-shirt that says, "I banged Dallas's daughter." God bless that man. Jim Ross called MJF a boil on the ass of life, which is the same thing he used to call Paul Heyman. Actually, he may have called Paul Heyman a hemorrhoid. I think he may have called him a hemorrhoid maybe on the ass of life or something like that. It's an old JR special. So DDP, he was all ready to start out with MJF. MJF bailed, so Paige tagged in QT Marshall, and MJF then all of a sudden got back into the ring. So They go to break. They come back from break. DDP gets the hot tag. He was one of the most over guys on the entire show. You know, you could argue, should he be out there having a match, 63 years old, he's taking up a spot that somebody else could get. I will say this. He goes out there and he gets a superstar reaction. So DDP in small doses, not every single week. I'm okay with that. Just don't go overboard. It's like the Rock and Roll Express. I'm not against the idea. Big Show. Big Show on Monday Night Raw. I'm not against the idea of using people like that as a special. And Big Show's a lot younger than these guys. But I'm not against the idea of using them as a special attraction. It's when you use them every single week where I start to have a problem. So anyway, DDP gets the hot tag. He's hitting lariats left and right on the heels. And he hits a diamond cutter on the Butcher. Goes for one on MJF. MJF hits a low blow. Dustin tags himself in, hits a destroyer on MJF. And MJF gets dropped with a diamond cutter. He rolls out to the floor. Dustin hits a dive. QT Marshall hits a dive. DDP climbs to the top rope and does a dive. Out to the floor, onto the other five guys. Sting did the same thing when he ran his very last match against Seth Rollins before Seth Rollins, ended his career. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sting does not blame Seth Rollins. Let's not gang up on the Monday Night Messiah. But in Sting's last match, he did a dive off the top onto Rollins. It's like these guys feel like they have something to prove. They have to keep up with all these young bucks out here. So DDP hits a dive out to the floor. QT Marshall, he was in this match to eat the fall, which I figured he was. And MJF rolled him up. Schoolboy on QT gets the pin. This was fine. I thought this was fine. You know, DDP got some glory. MJF got the win, as he should have. Jen Decker, backstage with SCU. All of a sudden, they're cutting a promo about their tag team title match next week. And Hangman Page shows up. He's got a drink in his hand. He's half drunk. This guy needs to go to AA meetings or something. This guy's got a problem. I think we've got to have some kind of elite intervention here with this guy. I'm a little worried about him. And he's going to be on the ship next week. That's going to be even worse. This fucking guy's going to fall overboard. I'm going to have to keep an eye on him. So he interrupts this promo and Omega shows up. He says, don't mind my friend. He gets a little excited. This really didn't serve much of a purpose, I guess, other than to get us hyped a little bit, I guess, for their match next week. But it was what it was. Kevin, oh my God, $5 super chat. Should AEW have long title reigns or short title reigns? Well, I mean, I don't think every championship needs to be long or short. You can have one that's longer and one that's shorter. I think for the time being, you don't want to have overly long title reigns outside maybe of Jericho. But I think Jericho loses it next month. You know, I don't think you need anybody holding onto a title for a year. You want to keep things exciting, you're going to have to change things up, and you're going to have to introduce a secondary title. Especially now with this new TV deal they have. They're going to be on TV at least through 2023. You know, give it a few months and they're going to have to introduce another championship and also build that roster out a little bit more. Easy Attack, thank you for the $5 super chat. Should AEW... actually, that's the same one. I mixed up the super chats. That was from Easy Attack. Kevin, oh my God, said, let's get Solomonster verified on Twitter. Hashtag verify the monster. Well, have at it. Have at it. I've been waiting patiently. It's not a big deal to me. It's just funny to me how some people who get verified have no business being verified, but it is what it is. What are you going to do? What the hell are you going to do? We had our main event, PAC, against Darby Allin. If you are getting some lagging or buffering right now with the stream, it should go away in a few seconds, so I apologize. Let me know in the chat if it resolves. Usually it happens for a few seconds and then it goes away. PAC against Darby Allin. The winner meets One-Eyed Willie, Jon Moxley, next week on the pirate ship. So PAC is torturing Darby Allin for the first, I'd say, half of this match. They go to commercial. They come back. And they show us footage of Darby being powerbombed on the steel steps. during the commercial break. This guy, the abuse that this guy takes, he's almost like kind of like the Mick Foley of this generation. Now Foley was even crazier, but he's like the Mick Foley of this era here. Doesn't give a shit about his body. Takes these ridiculous bumps. I'll never forget that first match with Cody last year, where he hit the coffin drop and Cody moved, landed on the apron, bounced off the apron. Ugh, I cringed. This guy does not care about his body. He hit a coffin drop here in this match from the top onto Pac outside on the floor. And back inside, Darby hit a destroyer for a near fall. He went for another coffin drop, and in the middle of it, Pac countered into a German suplex, hit a brutal powerbomb for a two count. And they're both up on the top rope. They're trading headbutts back and forth. Pac gets, he knocks Darby down, hits the black arrow, and gets the pin. I love how they protect the move. It's one of those moves that ought to be protected. It's kind of like the Black Mass with Aleister Black in WWE, despite the botch, of course, on Monday, where Buddy Murphy kicked out when I'm sure he wasn't supposed to. It's not their fault. But outside of that, it's one of those moves that nobody kicks out of. It's just, it's very protected. So that way, it means something, and one day when somebody does kick out of it, hopefully it'll get a big reaction. So Tony Schiavone gets into the ring, and he's wearing his Hawaiian shirt. He looks... Tony looks like he's living his best life right now. He's just, he doesn't care. He's out there, he's in his Hawaiian shirt. He's got like 15 jobs, right? He's an announcer for AEW. He does stuff behind the scenes for AEW. He's the Georgia Bulldogs radio announcer. He has his podcast with Conrad. He used to be a barista at Starbucks many years ago. He just felt like it was something he wanted to try, and so he was a barista at Starbucks. What other jobs has this guy had? God only knows how many jobs this guy has. Give this guy a game show. I want to see a Tony Schiavone-hosted game show. Ryan W., thank you very much for the $5 super chat. Says, Solomon, sir, curious to know your day job / professional gimmick. My gimmick. Is that what it's called? Well, I've talked about it on the show before. I work in public relations. Which is why every time there's a sad tweet or one of these companies does something just fucking dumb, I have a very interesting perspective to offer on these things because it's what I do for a living. I do public relations and crisis management, so I have some interesting perspectives on some of these things. And there's a lot of stupid things that are said and done in pro wrestling. So that's why I always have so much content. I always have something to talk about. That's why the Tessa Blanchard stuff and everything last week was like a gold mine for me. So Pac wins, Tony's in the ring. And Pac says, you know, he's basically declaring himself number one contender. He says, Moxley's not going to be able to compete next week. He may as well just forfeit and make me the number one contender. Moxley climbs out of the ambulance. They cut backstage. He's being loaded into an ambulance. He climbs out of the ambulance. He walks back into the building. He's got a wrap around his head, and his eye is all covered. Hopefully he'll wear a pirate patch next week. He'll be on the pirate ship. And he tells Pac, I don't care if I'm half dead. I will be there next week in the Bahamas to kick your ass. And that is how they went off the air. I thought it was a pretty good show overall. I enjoyed it. You know, the women's tag team match I didn't really enjoy all that much. Unfortunately, that seems to be a recurring pattern. You know, they've had some really good women's matches. They had that four-way. You know, when Statlander double booked and she couldn't show up a couple weeks ago. The match they had in that in place of the singles match, I thought was maybe one of the best women's matches on Dynamite that they've done. So you kind of find a diamond in the rough every now and then. But yeah, by and large, the women's division continues to underwhelm. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for this women's division to really impress me and knock my socks off here on this show. So let's take a look at the polls. Let's see who you guys thought had the better show tonight. I have not yet watched NXT. I don't do the simultaneous watching because I need to just give these shows my undivided attention. I need to be able to hear the commentary. So I'll watch NXT tomorrow. But AEW poll on Twitter. You can vote At Solomonster is my handle, and there you see, 81.3% thumbs up, 18.7% thumbs down so far, with 1,100 votes in so far. So chime in, let me know what you think. That is an overwhelmingly positive score so far for Dynamite. And let's take a look at what you think NXT did tonight. Wow, okay. This was kind of the inverse of what we had last week. I think, I think Dynamite got like 60-something percent to 30-something percent. So this week, NXT is a little bit lower, 76.5% thumbs up, 23.5% thumbs down. Only 700 votes so far. So let your voices be heard at Solomonster. The polls are going to be open for a couple days. So if you want to let the world know, let me know what you thought of tonight's show. That is the way to do it. And just want to take a look at all of the fine folks joining us here in the chat, keeping it lively here tonight as we take some of your calls. This is always interesting. I actually thought, to be honest with you, I thought last week was the best batch of phone calls we've had. I really do. There were some really good calls last week. I know not everybody's always thrilled with the calls, but I thought last week was one of the stronger weeks that we've had. So, fingers crossed here. you never know what to expect. It's kind of like the wild card portion of the program here. But I figure we'll take some of your calls. We'll see what's going on here. And we'll start with, we have Jesus, I believe, is calling from the great state of Texas. Area code 915, you're on the air.
My name is Aaron, sorry.
Wow, well, that's a totally different person, but glad to have you on. What'd you think of the show tonight?
It was really good. My favorite moment was Diamond Dallas Page seeing him again on TV. Brought back a lot of memories about when I used to watch it with my brothers.
Yeah, I mean, DDP, you know, he got over on his own in WCW and came out tonight and didn't really look like he missed a beat. You know, he came out and everyone's doing the Diamond Cutter sign and everything. So he's still, I don't want to say he's as over as he was, 22 years ago, whatever it was when he was champion, but he's still over.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you think of the show?
Nothing much. It was one of the best shows I think they've done this year so far. Or one of my favorites, at least.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say it was one of their stronger shows. Anything else before I let you go?
Well, I just got like one question.
Sure.
I was wondering your thoughts on Brian Cage possibly being signed with AEW. And what other guys do you think would, what other big men do you think would be great for the promotion?
Yeah, Brian Cage, he came out, and I think his wife, Melissa Santos, came out and denied the reports. Now, that could just be because they didn't want it to leak, and he actually did sign, or maybe he hasn't. Maybe it was just a false report. I don't know. I think he would be a good pickup for them. The problem with Cage, he gets hurt a lot. So, like, right now, I think he's actually got a torn bicep tendon, some kind of arm injury that he's dealing with, which is why the finish to his match with RVD was so wonky at the Impact pay-per-view last weekend. So, you know, he's gotten hurt a few times. He is a big guy. Whether it has to do with that, he's carrying all that muscle mass around, I don't know. If he can stay healthy, though, he's a big guy, but he's a tremendous athlete. He's very agile. He can do things that a lightweight would do. He used to be a lightweight. Go look at early photos of Brian Cage. He used to be in developmental. He looks like a totally different person now. But he changed his look, and he became a star in these different promotions. So he is a bigger guy in a promotion here in AEW that has a lot of smaller guys. I think he would stand out. You know, he's got that look that separates him from everybody else. So I think that would be a good thing for him. We'll see if it's true or not. Let's go to Tennessee. Area code 931. You're on the air. 931.
Hello.
Hey,
Solomon.
What's going on? Come closer to the phone. You sound like you're 5 miles away from me.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry about that, man. I got my Bluetooth speaker playing. Hey, man, this is DJ Farrell from Clarksville, Tennessee. Man, I want to say first and foremost, I'm a big fan of your show. I remember watching it 2015, TV Tracks on YouTube. That's who I found out Matt Riddle was. from listening to you, and I've just been a big fan of yours ever since then. Damn, you actually got me this week. Okay, cool. Hey, booking your next couple of AEW World Champions, who do you got? I mean, obviously, Moxley's going to be the second man to win it. I think Omega's going to finally beat Moxley in order to win the World Championship. And after that, you could either go, at least my opinion, you can go Omega and Pac, or you could kind of recreate the Omega-Cody feud. And really, it could go either way as far as heel and face is concerned. And maybe Cody, because, I mean, dude, you know eventually he's going to win the world title in AEW. Like, I agree with you. That was dumb that they put that stipulation in for Full Gear. It really wasn't needed, like, at all. But in your honest opinion, I mean, who do you think are the next four or five world champs down the road?
Well, I mean, obviously, Cody at some point is going to win that title. It's just a matter of, do they hold off until next year? How long do they want to wait until they pull the trigger on that? Because he is the biggest star in that company. He comes out, the reactions that he gets, it's undeniable that the people who are AEW fans look at him as being one of, if not the biggest star in the company. Certainly top two. So if they hold off on that, let's say Moxley gets it, let's say Omega gets it. I think Hangman Page is being groomed for that position. I thought it was way too soon to put the title on him last year. Thankfully, they didn't. They made the right call. They put it on Jericho. It was the correct choice. But at some point, I think he will get to that level, maybe as a heel. And he's being groomed for that position. And he probably would, at that point, maybe beat one of the elite guys to do it, you know, if he is a heel. So I could see it going Moxley. Well, Jericho to Moxley, Moxley to Omega, and maybe Omega to Hangman. Right now, they're tag team partners. A year from now, maybe Hangman beats Omega to become the champion. Maybe Cody has to chase after Hangman. Beyond that, it's stupid to even think about it, because who the hell knows? You're asking me, a year and a half from now, who the hell knows? Who the hell knows who's going to be on the roster a year and a half from now? You know, there could be a big name in WWE whose contract expires and they go to AEW and they put the title on them. You know, who's to say? Let's go to the state of New Jersey. Area code 609. 609, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Who am I talking to?
Hello. This is Steve.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. It's almost bedtime here, but I wanted to at least, like, kind of air some grievances. Like, the show as a whole, it was good. There was a lot of good stuff with the semifinal matches for the world title. The women's match, you know, it was there. It was there. It was fine. It's a shame Awesome and Kong couldn't be there. I thought there was a lot of potential for that to go forward. But the thing that bothered me the most was in almost all the tag matches. I didn't really notice it in the women's tag match, but the tag rope wasn't used basically at all. And you could really see in the finish to the four-way, Hangman was nowhere close to that turnbuckle. Nowhere close to even, he wasn't holding the rope, he wasn't even close to the turnbuckle, he was in the middle of the ring, hit the buckshot, won the match. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully this doesn't continue, but it just really bothered me.
Okay, well, we have somebody here who's a big fan of wrestling tradition, apparently. He's a big fan of the tag team rope. I mean, in WWE, they make use of it, and here, yeah, I mean, they're a little laid back as far as some of the rules go in these tag team matches. I mean, the Lucha Bros at one point weren't even bothering with tags. I think it's a little bit better now, but yeah, they still have some work to be done here.
Yeah. And for a while they were fixing it, but it was a chaotic match. So I can give it like a light pass, but still, it was so easy to see. The camera angle is right behind him. It was the biggest glaring thing for that whole show. But hey, it was fine. Well, it's looking good for next week. Let's see how. Are they doing the show, or mostly on the ship?
Yeah, so I believe, and I'm going to let you go now, but thank you for the question. I believe the plan for next week, I should know, I'm supposed to be there, but the plan for next week is they're going to tape Dynamite the day before. So Dynamite will not be airing live next week, because the one day that we are actually in the Bahamas is on Tuesday. The rest of the cruise is going to be on the ship. We're only docking for one day. So on Tuesday, we'll get off the ship and we'll be able to do whatever we want. We have to be back at the ship no later than 6 o'clock if we want to try to be in the audience. And they will tape Dynamite, which will then air 24 hours later. But they're going to do it on the ship. And it's first come, first serve as far as the, I say seats. I don't know if they're going to actually have seats. I assume people are just going to be standing around. And I shall do my best to get a good spot, but who knows? I mean, this ship probably has 2,000 people on it, so that's my understanding of how it's going to work next week. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of very interesting notes that I will have. But the reason I can't go live, first of all, I may not even be taking my laptop, but even if I did, I probably won't even have internet. If I do, I'm sure the Wi-Fi on that ship is not going to be strong enough for me to do a live stream, so there's just no way I can do it. But it'll be interesting as far as a setting, you know, doing it on this giant cruise ship. I like these unique locations, so I'm very curious to see how this is going to look. Let's go to, let's see here, MT. What is that? Oh, that might be Montana. Area code 406. Is this Montana?
Yes, this is. Yes, this is. It's Jack.
Hey, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to give it information. On TV schedule on January 29th, it looks like there will be no NXT overrun since it's like the Miz and Mrs. Season premiere.
Ah, yes.
So how much do you think that... Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I was just wondering, how much do you think that'll affect NXT's ratings?
It probably will affect it a little bit. You know, they when Dynamite goes off the air, I don't know what the average is, but a lot of people just migrate over to NXT. And so NXT has a little bit of a benefit there, because if they go 8, 9, 10 minutes overtime, that's going to factor into their overall rating. So it will hurt them without having the overrun. It will hurt them, because Dynamite has more live weekly viewers than NXT does. So without the overrun, it's going to hurt them. The only question is by how much. We'll have to wait and see. I believe this is a caller from Canada. Is this from the Great White North?
Yes, it is, from Toronto.
Ah, Toronto. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Paul, a big fan. I've called a few times already, but yeah, I thought the show was decent tonight. I had a good time. I mean, my only gripe is going to be with the women's division. Like we keep saying, it's weak. The whole Nightmare Collective thing needs to end. And my question for you is with people talking about the New Japan partnership, Bushiroad does own Stardom. So I think one thing people are sleeping on is if they do partner with New Japan, maybe they can get some of the women from Stardom over here and breathe some life into the division.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I'm going to let you go, but you would think that's the case. But I don't know. We'll have to see, because Bushiroad is keeping Stardom and New Japan, I know, very separate. There's not going to be any mixing or anything. They share a parent company, and that's the extent of that connection there. Would the parent company be willing to work with AEW in some way? They probably should. AEW's got a good TV deal here in this country. New Japan has none. One person did point out to me that there's another factor that could... Well, there's two factors, really, that could throw a monkey wrench into things. Number one, it looks like the relationship between New Japan and Ring of Honor is... which was never completely dead, it was kind of dormant, is now showing signs of life. You know, Ring of Honor has been announcing people like Jay White and other members of the New Japan roster. Will Ospreay has been announced for the WrestleMania weekend show in Tampa. So this is the first time, really, the two companies have been doing anything together since WrestleMania weekend last year. But put ROH on the side. AAA and CMLL, they don't play well. And you've got AEW having some kind of partnership or alliance or working agreement, I believe with AAA it is. I think it's AAA. And New Japan with CMLL. That could have an effect as far as New Japan not working with AEW. You know, maybe they want to piss off their other partners down in Mexico. It's all politics. It's all bullshit. I still say at some point this year, the two companies are going to work together in some way. I just think it could be mutually beneficial. And now if AEW is adding a second show, I don't know what the format of that show is going to be. But if they're going to have another hour of television on TNT or TBS or wherever it ends up, you've got more TV time to fill. You know, that could pave the way for maybe, you know, talent from other promotions. Who knows? Maybe even the NWA, if they form some kind of partnership. I don't see what the benefit is for AEW if they partner with an NWA. I think the NWA gets all the benefit on that. But the whole New Japan thing, I just think there's so much talent there. And talent that have worked with the Elite. You know, when I was talking about Kenny Omega last week, I said, we have yet to see that version of Kenny Omega in AEW. I have yet to see him have a truly fantastic, out-of-this-world match with anybody. I mean, some people would say the lights-out thing with Moxley. I just wasn't a fan of that. But you put him in the ring with some of those New Japan guys. And I'm not just talking Okada, but really any of the key guys. We know they've got great chemistry. They've worked together before. I'd love to see some of that brought over to this country, whether it's on a Dynamite or on a pay-per-view, some kind of special that they do. So I hope it happens at some point this year. It probably won't happen for a while, but I hope it happens. Let's go to New York, a fellow New Yorker. Although this person is in Long Island, they are in Garden City. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, it's Jared. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. It's funny with the whole Inner Circle Moxley angle. A couple weeks ago, I forget it was either on the Arn podcast or the Grilling JR Conrad, they brought up the whole Spike thing and how it got Dusty in trouble with Crockett. So it's just funny how it came up to light tonight, and it was Tony and JR on commentary 30 years ago.
Oh, it was great.
So I thought that was fun.
Yeah, no. It was fantastic. And just them working together.
Yeah,
just them working together, yeah. And it's happenstance, the way that worked out. I just thought that was cool.
It was just funny. And last week, I just went back and watched it, and it was just funny that it just came up tonight. But my question to you is, what is Matt Hardy's status with WWE right now? I do believe you are right that he is the leader of the Dark Order, but what do you know the status? What is his status is with WWE right now?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, and I know he's been tweeting some weird stuff, and his wife Rebby's been tweeting stuff, and then you have the reports online from the Observer and places like that. His deal is up at the beginning of March, and he has not signed a new deal yet with WWE. Now, he may end up signing a new deal. I don't think what's going on with his brother will have any impact on him at all. Frankly, I think he's probably fed up with his brother. I know his wife must be, just based on her tweets. Every time Jeff gets in trouble, you know, I'm sure Matt has to answer for it. It shouldn't really blow back on him. It's not fair to him. I think they've kind of reached their wit's end with the whole thing. So whatever ends up happening with Jeff Hardy, and he's got obviously personal issues to work out, but I can't imagine he's going anywhere, because all this time that he's missed for injury, if he ever wanted to leave and go join Matt, if Matt went to AEW or some other place, they could just freeze his contract or say, listen, or not freeze his contract, but say, listen, you've missed all this time. We're tacking on all of these extra months that you missed because of the injuries or rehab or whatever. So forget Jeff. Let's just focus on Matt. If his deal is up at the beginning of March, there's no non-compete. The day that his contract expires, he can go anywhere he wants. He could show up on Dynamite that week. He could show up in Ring of Honor. I don't know why he would want to, but he could go there. He could show up in Impact. He is free to do whatever he wants. He is in the driver's seat. The reports that I'm seeing seem to indicate that it's not a money issue. They're probably offering him very good money. He's more concerned about what are you going to do with me. They have done nothing with Matt Hardy. Now, when I watch Matt come to the ring, you know, Matt's a little older. He's had a lot of injuries. It's almost painful to watch him walk to the ring. It's kind of like Undertaker. When you really watch the Undertaker walk, it's painful. Undertaker should not be in the ring. I know Undertaker told Steve Austin he doesn't like it when people tell him what he should do. I'm not telling him he can do whatever he wants. But it's painful to watch him take a step. Matt's kind of the same way. Matt is not in his prime anymore. So I'm not saying that Matt Hardy ought to be in the primary feud in any company that he's in. I don't think Matt Hardy should be challenging for a top championship or anything like that. But I think Matt Hardy, he's a creative guy. And whether it's the broken woken, whatever you want to call it, gimmick stuff, whatever he was doing before, which he has not really been allowed to do in WWE. It was very entertaining. That's the perfect role for him. It's like RVD, all the questions I'm getting. Did you see the RVD celebration on Impact this week? I did. And guess what? I thought it was kind of entertaining. And as long as they keep him away from their Impact World title and he's not, you know, focused on as like a top star on the show like he used to be, I have no problem with it. He's a part of the show. It's kind of entertaining. It doesn't make me want to vomit like the Lana Lashley Rusev stuff does. It's not interfering in any of the top storylines in the company. It's midlife crisis RVD. That's how I look at it. I think there's a role in the show for Matt Hardy. He wants to know, if I sign with you guys, this is the last contract, big contract, he will probably ever sign. How old is he right now? Mid-40s? They're signing guys, they're locking guys into five-year contracts. If he signs a four-year deal, five-year deal, that is the last big contract of his career. He wants to know, you're not going to put me on ice. You're not going to do me like you did EC3 and some of these other guys and just, you got me all locked up and now you're just going to throw away the key and put me on the back burner. He wants to contribute. He's doing his own YouTube videos. You think WWE is doing that? He's doing that all on his own. He is bored. He's got to be bored out of his mind. All these, whatever good years he has left are being wasted. If I were him, I wouldn't trust WWE to do something with me. I'd leave. I would leave. If he's not hurting for money, if he were to go to an AEW, I guarantee you he's going to get paid well. He may not make the kind of money that Vince McMahon is offering him. But it doesn't sound like it's about the money. He wants to know, do you have a plan for what you're going to do with me? If not, I'm going to walk. That's why I think he's as good as gone. And it probably is the right decision for him to make. He probably would get more creative freedom if he left. This Dark Order shit is right up his alley with that Broken Matt character. I think they can make that work. So that's where we are as far as Matt Hardy goes, if the reports are to be believed. He's got a deal on the table. Contract's almost due. It's not about the money. What are you going to do with me? That's where we are. Andrew, thank you. I missed you earlier for the $10 super chat. Says DDP is more over in AEW than nearly the entire WWE roster. It's kind of sad, isn't it? It's kind of sad. It is kind of sad. Let's take a couple more. I'm having fun. Let's take a couple more, then we'll wrap it up here because I got to do all this editing when this is over here. We'll push this out to the feed. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Area code 814. You're on the air.
From one Jason to another. Greetings from Erie.
I love talking to another Jason. It's always so much fun.
So do I. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm waiting to find out what you thought of tonight's show.
I thought it was one of the better shows. Definitely one of the better shows. Definitely better than last week's. Overall, I thought it was an okay show. Yeah, that one's division still in the works. I thought that Dark Order vignette was actually really good.
Yeah. No, look, the stuff where they're trying to recruit people and they have these weird vignettes, at least it adds some personality, you know, to what they're doing. I've not been impressed when they actually show up in the ring. They have to, you know, kind of work on that. But I think the videos they've done have largely been pretty good. I'm just curious where it's all leading.
Indeed. Also Moxley tonight. Oh, my God. The guy's like a machine, you know. And you knock him down, you poke him in the eye, doing that homage angle to Dusty back in the 80s and everything, which I still remember that angle. I actually saw that. And him being out of the ambulance and everything, and coming out on his own, like I said, a machine, and coming down, he had dried blood on his chest. I thought I saw dried blood on his chest, but I must have been seeing things that might have been, like, you know, something in the way or not. But anyway, doing his Jean-Pierre Lafitte cosplay there with the eye bandaged up and everything, and I thought he was great tonight. He was fantastic tonight, and I hope AEW and hold on to this guy, because I've been hearing rumors that the possibility of Moxley might be going to New Japan full time instead of being with AEW. I mean, is there any truth behind these rumors?
No. I've not heard. That's the first I'm hearing of it. I can't imagine that that would be the case. I'm sure Renee would not be very happy to hear that either. So no, I don't know where that's coming from. Look, he's going to work in New Japan. He's the United States champion. I am waiting for this match with Suzuki. I think it's February 9th, I believe, is the date of their U.S. title match. I am anxiously awaiting that match. But after the Suzuki match, he's got other opponents, you know, he could step into the ring with. And, you know, he'll go out there every now and then and do his New Japan matches. But I think he's going to be the AEW champion. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Let's take one more. Let's go to our nation's capital. Let's go to area code 202. You're on the air.
Hey, Salt Monster. It's Garrett once again.
Garrett. Ah, good old Garrett. How you doing?
I'm trying not to make a habit calling it every single week because I want other people to get a chance to call. But I just wanted to give you a follow-up on some of the TV information about the second TV show for AEW.
Well, first of all, before you go on, I have to say, you know, we don't mind when Garrett calls in every week because we all love Garrett. And as somebody in the chat just said, Solid Monsters listeners are all high on caffeine and cocaine. And so Garrett actually sounds like he's not exactly hopped up on something right now. And so he sounds lucid. Let's see what he has to say. Garrett, go ahead. Move on with your point.
Yeah, I can also not be on coke or caffeine because I'm dead as well. So
that's true. You know, that's right. Yeah, Garrett died on one of the early shows. It might have been one of the first streams I did. And then we brought him back to life. And so I'm happy to hear that you're doing well.
Yeah, I kind of had the situation was happening with AEW show tonight with Jericho's mic going in and out. So, but for the AEW second show, apparently the head of TNT confirmed that it is going to be dark. That will be moved onto the TNT network. It won't be on the streaming services, but it is said the fact it's going to be more embellished, that it will have more behind the scenes storylines talking about their athletes and their behind the scenes stories, as well as like new documentary material. So I would assume that would be like their Road 2 series. I've seen some rumors saying the fact it's a 2-hour show, which I think it's pushing it a little bit. But I do believe that's pretty much the plan. They have not discussed what the solid week is, but that's still ongoing. And to answer your question, you asked at the top of the show about the production side of things. Apparently, I saw people saying the fact that they are no longer covering the production costs. It's going to be AEW from now on, which from the judge of it, it's pretty much the same cost as what they're getting paid for the TV deal. So it looks like they're basically breaking even on TV deal, or maybe higher than what they are doing. So that is currently all the information I have for the TV deal. For the show tonight, in my opinion, I think it is a solid show.
Interesting. Yeah, that I said earlier, there was a big question. It's $45 million a year, and what does that mean? Is the money on top of the production costs already being covered, or are they going to have to foot the bill now for that? So if they are, I mean, I'll look into it when we're done here, but if they are going to foot the bill for the production, look, it's still a good deal. It's still a situation where they at least have stability now for the next 3 or 4 years. But money-wise, that's going to be significantly less if they now have to eat the cost of production that they didn't have to before. That's you know, a big difference than what some people thought it might have been before.
Yeah. But I also wanted to jump back as well because you mentioned about whether Kenny Omega made the right call to go to AEW over WWE. I do believe the fact he made the right call choosing AEW over WWE, though I'm still hung up on the idea that he made the right call to leave New Japan like he did. Because if you just look at New Japan's style of booking, the fact they have everything all set up, if someone leaves, they're just going to just insert another guy into it. So I just think that but Kenny Omega leaving, I'm pretty sure that he would have done what Jay White has done all year, going to lose to MSG, would have been in a G1 final, and probably would have been in the Gold Rush tournament, which I think possibly would have been an insane night, considering the fact he probably would have wrestled Ibushi on the second night, which means one of them is probably going to die after wrestling Naito or Okada, that situation. So I believe that he missed out on probably having the biggest years of his career in New Japan, but, you know, if he wanted to take a break from Japan or go out with his friends and start making AEW Dynamite a profitable thing, which from the looks of it, they made a good chunk of change with the TV deal they have. So I think that he probably made the right call financially. financially for the business, but I think that for the aura that he had, I think it was a wrong call to leave. I think staying a year in Japan would have been good for his overall story. So, again, thank you for calling me in, or for me to call back.
Thank you, Garrett. Anytime, man. We'll have you back on in the future. So I have to say this. I read the same thing, that had Omega not left New Japan, the plan had been at the Madison Square Garden show last year, the main event would have been Okada versus Omega. I was at the Garden for that show. I was all up on the, I was practically on top of the building. I mean, my seats were horrible, but to be in the building for Okada and Omega would have been something special. So I'm kind of pissed off that we didn't get that match. Because in that building in front of that crowd that night, it would have just been, that's what everybody would have been waiting for. Forget the Ring of Honor stuff. To get an Okada Omega match would have been huge. And yeah, in New Japan, they book things out months and months, if not a year in advance. So I can understand why they would be pissed off. They had all these plans for this guy. They built him up and built him up, this American who came in and became one of their top stars. And then he bails. So whatever bad blood is there, hopefully it will simmer down. Omega can work there. It's in his contract. He can work New Japan anytime he wants, but they need to want him as well. Hopefully they'll kiss and make up at some point. We'll move beyond this, and we'll be able to get some of that Kenny Omega back, because he was having some of the best matches anywhere in the world for a good, at least 2 year stretch there. I want to see some of that Omega back. He's had time to heal his body up. Good. Okay, he's not been running as hard as he did during those big matches he was having in New Japan. But I'd like to see him get back to that at some point. So let's wrap it up there. Let me just check the polls real quick. Let's see where we're at. AEW poll, 81 up, almost 19 down. So overwhelmingly positive. NXT, 76 up, 24 down. Also overwhelmingly positive. Which is why Wednesday night is the new wrestling night. Even though Raw and SmackDown on their own still double or nearly double the combined audiences for these two shows, which just blows my mind, but it shouldn't. Raw and SmackDown have been established on TV for over 20 years. It's not a reflection of the quality of the shows. People are creatures of habit. Although I will say, and I'm going to talk more about this weekend, I actually, on the whole, I liked Raw on Monday night. I thought this was one of the better Monday Night Raw show. When I broke everything down, pros and cons, and I looked at what I liked, and I looked at what I didn't like, I liked more than I hated from that Raw show on Monday night. And I'll get into all that when I do the show this weekend. So you know, and by the way, thank you to Heel Sim, or Heel T-Sim in the chat, pointing out if everybody can give this video a like. I never mention it. I should mention it more often. If you like these streams, give the video a like. I sure would appreciate it. The podcast, episode 635 of The Sound Off. We missed RSPW Rewind last week. That's going to be back this weekend. Royal Rumble predictions this weekend, because I'm not going to be around next week. I got to do them a week early, which sucks, because that means I don't get to watch the go-home shows before I do predictions, and they're probably going to add more matches on TV this week. But there's nothing I can do. So Royal Rumble predictions, the Rewind is back. We'll talk this, all the details of this AEW deal as more details come out. A lot of good stuff coming up. I'm recording on Saturday. As soon as I'm done recording, the show's going up. So watch for the show. It'll be up probably a day early this week, later in the day on Saturday. I'll try to get whatever clips up on the YouTube channel as well Saturday night or first thing Sunday morning before I fly out to Miami. And I'm gone next week, but I should have some interesting stories and tales to tell from the Jericho Cruise when I come back next week. I know there's an NWA pay-per-view the night that I get back. There's the Worlds Collide special, NXT versus NXT UK, the next night. And then the night after that, we're back here live on the YouTube channel. The next stream here on this channel is January 26th. That is the night of the Royal Rumble, one of the biggest streams of the year. Will be the Royal Rumble stream. We'll have a lot to talk about that night. I hope you'll join me. that night back here live on YouTube. And I think that's it as far as all of the business is concerned. We have a Royal Rumble pool going on our Facebook group. You want to get in on that. We've got over 2,200 members. There's still time to join. Just look for Solid Monster Sounds Off on Facebook. It's the private group. If you apply for membership, I'll have to manually approve you. And once you get in there, you'll see the post pinned to the top. All you got to do is hit like, and you can be in the Royal Rumble pool. You can win prizes. So join us there. This is always a fun time of year, from Rumble to Mania. It's usually the most active period. And until then, be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great week. If any of you are going on this cruise next week, I guess I may see you there. I've never been on a cruise before. Never. No cruise at all, wrestling or otherwise. So I have no idea. I always looked at it, and I used to look at it and go, what's the big deal? You're trapped on a boat. What's so appealing about that? But so many people tell me, oh my God, you're going to love it. The cruises, there's so much fun. There's so many activities. There's so much stuff to do. I'll take your word for it. I'm paying a lot of money to go on this cruise. It better be worth it. I'm not going to WrestleMania this year. I'm going to this instead. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Anyway, I'm out of here, guys. Take it easy. We play some music for you as we play out. And I will see you for 6:35 this weekend. Have yourselves a great week, guys.